Happy National All or Nothing Day, Sean.
Happy National All or Nothing Day, Melanie.
And you mentioned before we started recording that celebrities are very important. I didn't say that. You said that. And so today being the 26th of July, we would also like to wish a happy birthday to Kate Beckinsale and Helen Mirren.
Happy birthday, Kate Beckinsale and Helen Mirren.
Do you watch any of their movies or their films?
Yeah, a fair few.
Oh, mate, are you serious? It took you an hour to get ready to, like, because your computer was fucking itself. And now that we're recording, Amazon's just dropped off a parcel and now the doorbell is, like, going off. Can you hear that?
No.
Okay.
It's all happening.
It's all happening. You know what's scary? I made an order through Amazon and I don't even know what I ordered. But what I do know is that I ordered it yesterday.
Nice. I do that a fair bit. I just order stuff and then then it comes and I'm like, oh, what is it?
Yeah. And then Adrian comes home and he's like, oh, what did you order? I'm like, oh, that's the... And then I'm racking my brain going, fuck, what did I order? What did I order? What did I order? 9 times out of 10, I guess it correctly. I think it's paper towels. Because, you know, we've got floods and we've got inflation and we've got COVID and our shopping centers don't have paper towels right now.
Yeah. There's a tissue shortage mainly. I think that's their main one.
Tissues, paper towels, there's no spinach, there's no carrots, there's no salad of any type.
Cos lettuce.
There's no lettuce. Or I found a cabbage the other day and it was $16. Yeah. I have frozen spinach in my fridge and I'm just like... Look, oh my God, I need to talk to Alexa. Hang on. Alexa, read notifications. Alexa, stop. She beeped 5 times to tell me that, Melanie, your latest delivery of Viva paper towels has been delivered. Now we know. Now we know.
Thanks, Alexa.
Thanks, Alexa. Now, let's get on with the episode, shall we? So we're up to episode 2 of season 3 of Canada's Drag Race.
Yes.
We open up and the girls are walking in from the end of the previous episode. They read the message from Halal Bay. Halal Bay says, you know, good luck to Bombay. And, you know, Bombay is very emotive. I think all the girls were pretty emotive about that. Like, they weren't crying or anything, but they were just like, oh, mom.
Like, it's real.
God, I'm a real person with real emotions. Oh.
Yeah, and like, people go home.
Oh, God, everyone has to go home. And then Bombay is like, oh, she didn't get to show her drag, so I guess I'm going to have to show it for her. And I think I know what she meant. But the smart ass within me thought to myself, okay, so now that she's gone, you're gonna copy Halal Bay's drag? Is that what's happening? Work.
I'm gonna use every good thing that she would have used. And not really.
that's the smart ass. That's the smart ass within. Oh my God, I cannot speak. That is the smart ass within me. That's obviously, you know, I'm not that daft. Just start taking her words out of context.
Like, if we want to turn her into a villain, that's how you do it.
Can we go ahead and give Bombay a villain edit for just for this podcast?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's see. I know I keep saying it, but we do need to get these episodes up on YouTube. We will do it, podcasters. Well, not podcasters. We're podcasters. You know, listeners, whatever you guys are out there.
Pod listeners.
Yeah, sure, that one. So, you know, I'll put this up on YouTube and then, you know, we'll give Bombay a villain edit and then everyone will come for her. And then at the end we'll have Bombay interviewed at the final episode, and then what happens? I don't even know how we would do that. She's so likable.
Yeah.
It's like trying to give Yeah, it's like trying to give like Katya a villanelle edit. I don't know how you do that.
Yeah.
Oh, we have
Bendela Creme. Or
yeah.
Like...
Bendela.
Someone that's just genuinely nice.
Yeah. Jada Essence Hall, Bendela Creme, yeah. Trixie Mattel, Adore Delano.
Yeah.
So getting into the mini challenge, let's not dwell on the mini challenge for too long because...
we could rush over it.
Hello, little dog.
I mean, we say this every time, don't we? We're like, oh, yay, mini challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. Brad walks in and they're all like very excited about his jumpsuit. I thought it was cute. And he did a little cute dance. And I keep on forgetting, I don't mean to objectify him, but I've got eyes, so it's going to happen.
I mean,
I keep on forgetting as I follow him on the socials. Like, he comes out, whenever he comes out, I'm like, God, he's so good looking and he is so cute. And then you see images of him with no shirts on. I'm like, who are you? You monster.
I mean, just pull a Jinx and, like, during her stand, her roast, like a Jinx in her roast and be like, I don't want to objectify you, like it's already been done.
Here's some dick jokes. Anyway, what I was saying was, I keep on forgetting.
Like, Brad Goreski's hot.
Brad Goreski is so hot.
He is really hot.
I keep on forgetting because then he's so cute and sweet. I'm like, oh my God, he's so cute and sweet. And then I keep on forgetting the cute and sweet people can also be really hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said that to Adrian. I'm like, oh, you're so cute. And then he does something really hot. And I'm like, oh my God, you're so hot.
He's cute, he's sweet, he's fashion.
Is it fashion? And he's hot. So they have to do this stupid mini challenge. Sorry, I'm not really into these mini challenges because
yeah, we don't love them.
One thing I want to know is when they, okay, so with these ones where they're like, oh, you have to get in a quick drag and then they read a little dialogue thing.
Yeah.
Who writes that?
I think they do.
They write it?
Yeah. At least they usually do. They never specify in the Canada ones.
Yeah. Like, anyway, just, you know, I don't know who writes them. But what they had to do is they had to get in a quick drag and they had to dress like in hockey, give their best hockey look in quick drag because hockey is very popular in Canada.
Yeah.
Was there anything you enjoyed about this mini challenge?
I mean, yeah, it was just all very messy. It was actually kind of fun.
Yeah.
It was fun to see them all like not looking glam at all.
Yeah. I love when you see the queens that are meant to be super glam just looking terrible.
Yeah. I liked that, like, Kimmy Couture was just like, I hate quick drag.
Yeah, fair call. Like, but I guess one thing that is important and good about the mini challenges is that you need to be able to have a winner of the mini challenge so then for the next challenge they can, you know, have some sort of power. And in this case, it was to assign partners.
Yes.
Who was the winner of the mini challenge again? I actually
Chelazon LaRue.
Chelazon LaRue, that's right. I did remember partway through me asking who won, which is really concerning because I literally only got to watch the episode today and I've watched it twice today. So how I've forgotten is incredibly concerning. I'm just going to put that down to really bad neck pain because I'm a little bit distracted. Anyway. So the challenge is, the main challenge is, it's kind of a throwback to season 7 when they did the Despy Awards.
Yeah, it's very that.
It's pretty much exactly the same.
I mean, literally, yeah, basically it's the same thing.
Yeah, because didn't they have to accept... These ones are called the Who Knows Awards.
Yeah, and I think they wrote their dialogue. I don't know if they gave them the awards or not, but they wrote their dialogue for that one as well, right?
Yeah, so it's exactly the same as the DESPY Awards. So they had categories and all the queens had to vote for who they thought should be nominated in those categories. And then whoever got the most votes, they like won that category. Because remember they had the Shadiest Queen Award and Violet won, and then she got up there and she was like, you hate me, you really, really hate me. And everyone had a laugh because no one liked her. That was an awkward season because they gave Violet the villain edit and then they're like, oh shit, she's actually really good. She's not going to go home. I think she should win.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was a funny season.
Yeah, that was very weird. Because, yeah, they kind of painted it like she's not going to win. And then she was kind of like unclockable in terms of like how well she was doing. And they were just like, oh, well, that's awkward.
I think they were a bit undecided on who they wanted to be their like their best queens as well. Because I think they really wanted Jasmine Masters to keep going longer as well. But then, then Rue was like... Actually, you can be in the bottom next to Kennedy and...
Yeah.
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 And then no one can really beat Kennedy in a lip sync most of the time.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. I just don't think they knew who they wanted to give, you know, that winner's edit to.
Yeah.
Which is hysterical when you think about it now. Fast forward, how many years ago was that? That was, I think... Oh, it was about 8 years ago now. Something like 6 or 7. Yeah, something like that. I actually can't remember. And kept
Pearl around just because she's good looking.
Well, I remember when that season came out, me being like, well, this season was crap, but there's good queens on it. Like I loved Katiana, I loved Trixie, Ginger.
Yeah.
I thought Violet was good, even though I thought she was a mole.
Yeah, queens. Oh, even Fame's good queen as well.
Yeah. And then you fast forward to now and you have, you know, Trixie, who they recently announced is worth $10 million now. She's just done, I just finished watching Trixie Motel. Did you watch that?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
Okay. I've had a lot of inspiration because I'm renovating my house at the moment and I'm looking and I'm like, why can't we go this crazy? And Adrian's like, because.
Like, why aren't our rooms full pink or full peach?
I mean, there's some eccentricities to this house that are coming about, but, you know, I've always got to negotiate what I'm doing. But it doesn't look crazy. It doesn't look crazy. There's a difference between, you know, just looking crazy and having like eccentric ideas and have it not look crazy. But I don't know. Anyway, it's kind of like my wedding all over again, except now it's a house. But anyway, so back to this episode. Welcome to Bring Back the Mustard special episode recap of the DESPY Awards from season 7 and then overall recap of all the queens from season 7.
I mean, it was relevant.
It was.
We just got sidetracked.
Yeah. But I just thought it was funny that they did this again just because no one really likes talking about season 7.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
The power to assign the roles.
Yes.
The duos or trios. The duos and trio.
Yes.
If There's you had one trio.
Yeah. If you so if you had the if you'd won, oh my god. If you had won, I'm very sorry, listeners. I've got a really bad back and bad neck. And I'm doing fine, but I think what's happening is I'm just struggling it slightly. So my apologies. You can leave that in because we need to explain why I'm a fuckwit today.
I'm a struggler too. I think we struggle. We're strugglers.
Yeah, but I have a legitimate disability. You're just ditzy and beautiful.
I mean, yeah. I'm a himbo. What can I do?
Oh my God. Anyway. So if you had the power to put people together, so this challenge really relies on, to be honest, I don't actually think this challenge really needs you to be, they were talking about like a comedy challenge, which it is, but this sort of challenge, you don't need to be a comedian as such. You pretty much just need to be able to deliver lines in a clear and concise way with a couple of gags, be charismatic, and then deliver the award. Like,
I think just the timing's important. Not necessarily, pretty much, yeah. Not necessarily the joke, but how it's, yeah, this one's about the delivery.
They don't need to be the best jokes ever. Like, and I think this is where, look, we'll get into it in a minute, but,
it's delivery, timing and delivery. Yeah.
Yeah. I think this challenge, if I was doing this challenge, I think I would have found it very easy.
Yeah, and even some of these things, like, you don't even have to put that big of an emphasis on whatever joke you're saying. You can even do things with a look. Like, if you execute it right, you could literally just give a look and it'd be funny. Like,
You could literally just be yourself when you're like delivering an award. I mean, obviously if yourself is boring and cranky and dry, it's not going to work, but depending on your personality, like I would think something like this, I'd smash this out of the park. Like I don't generally need to have.
Oh yeah, me too.
Yeah. Like I don't generally need to have something in front of me to prompt me.
You can kind of just have fun as well. Cause it's like,
yeah,
I feel like this is everyone's, I mean, maybe not everyone, but this is totally like the fantasy thing I'd have growing up. Like you watch award shows and then just imagine yourself being one of the funny presenters.
Yeah.
Like when you watch like Maya Rudolph and Kristen Wiig and people like that go up there, or like Will Ferrell and
yeah.
You know, like you watch the funny ones go up there and like do an awesome speech. Or you even just watch the ridiculous like Oscar ones, like where they're like the history making ones where they cry or they fall over, like
It's ridiculous. But you know, you don't have to be up there for very long.
You always imagine yourself in that, like.
Yeah, but all your punchlines.
It's fun to imagine yourself in that world.
Yeah, but all of these punchlines, they only need to be just that, just short and punchy. When Shayla's on LaRue is assigning the like the pairings, and there's one group of three. Do you think, because this does come up as topic of debate later, do you think that she was trying to help the girls out, or was she trying to be a little bit strategic, as in throwing other teams under the bus? What are your thoughts?
I don't really think she was trying to be strategic. I think she just went with like, it seems like she just went with the obvious choices.
That's what I reckon too, because a lot of these queens, they know each other outside of the show. So if they've already got relationships with each other, then you kind of go, okay, well, these two will work together because they know how to work together. But also a lot of the time with these categories, when they're presenting awards in real life, the people that are presenting the award, it's not like they go, okay, you can present this one, you can present that one. Like they have very particular people to present certain awards, you know what I mean? So I think in a way, whether or not she did that deliberately or not, she was kind of like, okay, well, these two people, they would present a certain type of award together in the real world.
Admittedly, with Fish, Fierce Delicious and Kimmy Couture, I could see how it was one of those ones where like she was probably like, I'm not actually sabotaging because these two know each other, so they're an obvious choice anyway. But I know them to be friends, so they are an obvious choice. But at the same time, she was like, also they're gonna be a crappy pairing, and I can justify it.
Yeah, I mean,
there's probably a little bit of that. but like, I don't think it was sabotage as such.
No, but to be honest, I probably would have, if I was in that situation, I probably would have paired them together as well, because I'd be looking, this is if I'm looking out for people, right? Which in this sort of challenge, I absolutely would, because I know just public speaking and talk, because I kind of see this kind of like a public speaking thing. As a kid, I was terrified of public speaking. I didn't like talking in front of people up until maybe 5 years ago, when I was kind of like, it's just talking to people. But it can be really humiliating if you fuck it up. So I would have tried to get people that were comfortable with each other just to make sure they could like have that companionship more than anything else. I don't think it was read as such. But from like a charisma point of view, I don't know who else they would have like worked well with. Because even if they had someone script jokes for them, like, say if they paired them with, you know, let's just say, like, Jillian, right? That probably wasn't going to work, because if Jillian's writing the jokes for Fearsalicious, for example, Fearsalicious mightn't be able to deliver the joke properly because it's not her joke, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just me. Looking at the challenge the way, like looking at how everyone's working together without revealing that you've already watched the episode, who do you think is on the struggle bus and who do you think is like all good in the hood?
Oh, like how they show them workshopping and stuff.
Yes, during the workshopping progress.
I mean, they very much set it up to look like Fearsalicious and Kimmy Katu was struggling.
Oh, yeah.
That and just fighting, but...
Yeah. I think they showed that Giselle Lullaby and Shayla Zon LaRue were, like, going to be really, really good.
Yeah, they made it look like they were going to do well.
Yeah, I think they also made out that Miss Mosu and Jada Hudson were going to do really, really well. And they kind of painted it that clearly Kimmy Couture and Fearsalicious were going to be in the bottom.
Yeah, it looked like Irma Gerd and Vivian Vanderpuss could have gone either way.
Yeah, so that was interesting, right? So when they tried to deliver the joke... When, like, this is where I'm skipping a slightly ahead, but I think we can, because it's all pretty much under the same segment. Yeah. When Brad does the walkthrough, they deliver the content and Irma's just like, oh, he's not laughing. That's not good. And I think Brad hit the nail on the head where he's like, you're thinking too much about the joke. Because if you have to think about the joke, it's not funny.
Yeah.
You can have clever jokes, but the idea is you've got to be able to understand the joke straight away for it to actually be comical. I mean, I don't know. It just sounds common sense, but it's true. If you have something like really complex, it's not funny. And if anything, they're just going to laugh at you for coming up with a really bad joke. Kind of like when Coco's like, Alaska, I can see Cartier from your backyard, or whatever she said. 5 years later, still Cartier laughing.
From your backyard.
I can see. I had to. That took me.
Those moments are the best, though. I do love. I love looking back at those moments now.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're laughing at the person, not laughing at the joke.
Yeah. Let's get this roaster cooking.
I loved when, oh, my God, who was it? Utica. Utica's roast was so awkward. And then she tried turning it. Who was the guest judge? I can't remember.
Nicole Byer?
No, I don't think so. Lonnie Love. Yeah, it was Lonnie Love.
Oh, was it Lonnie Love?
Yeah, Lonnie. when Utica says something like about Lonnie Love's, like she fat shames Lonnie Love, and then she says that her, like her career is hard to swallow or something, and then Lonnie Love replies back and says, "Well, you're the one bombing the best." So sometimes when you have really bad, you know, stand up, they do end up iconic in the Drag Race world because it ends up hysterical. But I think sometimes what can happen is with these girls or these contestants is that they get so far in their head and they're like, fuck, I don't want to be the next meme. Fuck, I don't want to be the next, you know, I can see Cartier from my house. You're the one bombing. Let's get this roaster cooking, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? So I think sometimes that's where you kind of get in your own way. And that's what I thought was potentially happening with that group.
Yeah.
But who did you think was going to win? Like, just from what was going on here in the workroom, doing the workshopping?
Yeah, I was a little bit, oh, I'm forgetting their names. The two mates, a little bit.
I thought Miss Mosu and Jada Hudson was going to win.
Yeah, a little bit.
I thought it was either going to be them or Shailazon LaRue and Giselle Lullaby. That's who I thought was potentially going to win.
Yeah, although I had already like vaguely spoiled the episode for myself a little bit.
Ugh, mate, don't Google spoilers. Stay off social media.
I know, it was because of Twitter, but I only knew that one queen was going to be in the top. I didn't know who won or who went home.
Right, okay.
But it was, yeah.
I avoid social media by the
point. No, I mean, knowing that they were going to be in the top did give things away a little bit.
Mm. Okay.
Because of, you know, the setup that we've just seen.
So now we're in the workroom again. Well, we were always in the workroom. We didn't really go anywhere. Now the queens are actually getting ready. And they start talking about, well, Shailazon starts talking about her difficulties as an Indigenous person that identifies as a queer person, essentially, or someone within the LGBTQIA plus community. And she talks about how she identifies as twin spirit, which I don't know a lot about Native American culture, obviously, because I'm on the other side of the world. So I'm not as exposed to it, except for when it's on the television. Yeah. But twin spirit, from what I understand, is, I liked her definition of it or the way that she explained it, because to me, as an ignorant white person, it was very easy for me to understand, where it's like, it's when you have, you know, the male and feminine within the one body.
Yeah.
I thought it was very, I did send you this article a little bit earlier today, because Bombay. Idiot. Me, I'm the idiot. No one on the show is an idiot. Me, I'm talking about me. Do not, listeners, take this out of context and snip it and play it on repeat on YouTube. I will come for you. Anyway, it's happened to too many people. It's not happening to me. But anyway, and Bombay starts talking about it as well, where they're talking about how in their, historically within their culture, the queer community was not only accepted, but it was celebrated. And then colonization happened. And then colonization kind of instilled the idea that all of this stuff is taboo and wrong. And then it's kind of backflipped. So then now you have some of these cultures that are incredibly conservative and queer phobic and all these other things. I thought that was quite interesting. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting.
I sent you this today. So when I was watching this episode, because I'm watching it late because I've been renovating the house and I've had a bad back and every other excuse under the sun. So today being Tuesday, the 26th of July, my husband, well, actually, I'll go back. So a couple of days ago, my husband, Adrian, was very excited because his football team in Australia, his favourite football team is the Manly Sea Eagles. he was very excited because there's this one-off game that they're playing. I think it's a one-off game that they're meant to be playing on Thursday, where their jerseys, the Manly Seagulls jerseys, it has a rainbow banner on it because it's meant to represent that, I don't know anything about football. I just know from what Adrian tells me. But there's been a big focus on trying to get inclusion and equality in the game. So they've started showing women's games, which never used to happen. They do these Indigenous matches where they have, Torres Strait Islanders, Aboriginal people, or First Nations people, Maori people from New Zealand playing games together. And now they're pushing the focus on the queer community, trying to encourage and support the queer community wanting to get into the sport. That's the context. So Adrian was very excited that the Manly Sea Eagles are the first team in history to be actually actively doing something like this, where they're wearing a rainbow or something like that to say, hey, we accept you, we support you, we welcome you, right?
Yeah.
So they did this mad campaign that came out yesterday or the day before, I think. It was very nice. It was one of the players, smiling with the jerseys a couple of them, and it was very happy and beautiful, and it went all over the interwebs. What's happened now, there's about 7 players that have actually threatened not to play on Thursday because they don't want to wear these jerseys because of religious reasons, stating that their religious beliefs do not encourage they don't encourage, they don't support, whatever word you want to use, this community of people. So when Adrian sent me this, it was literally at the time when I was watching this episode and the Queens were talking about how, colonizations happened and you have all of these, Shayla Zahn-LaRue explained it really well, where she's like, pretty much what's happening now is you've got these Indigenous people trying to fight for, people with religious beliefs that are against queer culture, trying to revert back to our roots because previously we did accept it and now we don't. It's kind of like a 2 steps forward, 3 steps back sort of thing. And I thought that was the same with this football thing.
Yeah.
I just think it's crazy that we're still having conversations like this.
Yeah, it's a massive shame. It always seems like it's getting there and then that happens.
I just think, I think it's safe to say that I don't want to use the word I abandon my beliefs, because I was raised Catholic and I practiced Catholicism for a very long time. But as I got, I guess when I got to about 16, 17, 18, 19, 25, 30, now 33, on the cusp of 34, I'm sort of at that state, I just felt like the belief system, I was always questioning the belief system and I didn't quite agree with all of it. And then over time, I just kind of figured, I'm not against this religion as a whole, but their beliefs don't align with mine. So I can't really say I'm pro or against certain religions, because it's really up to you whether or not it defines your, whether it's, I guess, compatible with your belief system and the lifestyle that you want to live. But I will say this, it's really fucking disappointing and really distressing that it's 2022 and now you still have people within these certain communities that are just so it's discrimination. It's discrimination. And this is where I was really upset when I was reading this article about the Sea Eagles, because they're actually trying to be proactive and trying to show people, hey, we accept you and we're wanting to be inclusive. And then you've got these other people going, oh, well, I'm going to step down because I don't believe in that. And then they're potentially arguing it's not because they're queerphobic, it's just because it's within their religion. But someone else raised another good comment where, it's a sin in Catholicism anyway, in a lot of Christianity, it's a sin to gamble, and yet you've got this football team that's covered in sports bets, gambling sponsorship. And yeah. also, you can bet on, you know, what teams are going to win at the TAB and whatever.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, just the whole sporting world is like one of the biggest areas of gambling.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is, unfortunately, and look, they haven't confirmed what religions or what team, you know, what, you know, they haven't actually given any further context besides that there's seven players that are just boycotting it, boycotting wearing these rainbow jerseys, which is so ridiculous to me. But
I'd also love to know what they do outside of their sport playing as well. I mean, I don't know anything about these specific players, but yeah.
Well,
the partying history of footy players is amusing.
I just think it's crazy because we're at a stage now, like there's actually a younger player in like one of the, again, I don't know how this works, but one of the like more amateur leagues at the Sea Eagles who is gay. And he's actually come out and said, I'm incredibly disappointed because I was so proud to say that my team is accepting of me and actively not just saying, oh, you know, anyone can play and we're inclusive. You know, they're actually demonstrating it and happy to, you know, show the world really, or Australia, because no one else cares about this game, but, you know, show Australia that, you know, they are accepting of this community. And then you have some other people saying, essentially what they're saying without explicitly saying it is they're not accepting of this, which is, well, or this community, which I don't know if that's their intention or not, but it's just really difficult when you have, I think that's my issue with religion as a whole. And again, I'm not against anyone that has religious beliefs. I have a whole mix of people, and like, admittedly, my beliefs, I think, I'm very promiscuous in my beliefs. I'm very much the kind of person where I'm like, I don't think there's I don't think this religion's quite smack the nail on the head. And I don't think this one has either, but I like bits and pieces of, you know, of other beliefs. Right. But I just think, unfortunately, I think what can happen is, and this is what Bombay and Shayla Rue were talking about, where sometimes you have some people that have, you know, are really hard fast living by these particular beliefs, and it doesn't really give room for someone to just, you know what I mean? Like how can you live so black and white by the law of this particular religion without living with any form of sin, or like it's not ever going to be quite right. But I guess what I'm trying to get at is it's really concerned. Like, religion to me is all about living the best version of yourself and living cooperatively with, you know, those people that have to share the planet with you. And I just don't think discrimination is something that's cool, right?
I think it's an area that's just going to take a long time. I mean, I think there was a lot of people I grew up with that I always sense that, like, I mean, some of them, like, if I, for all I know, could have been open-minded in these areas, but I think there's a lot of them, I think they just, it's like that, it's the grey area that they just don't want to think of. They just kind of just want to live in there. This is wrong, this is right, and then pretend that they're the most happy person in the world, but...
Yeah, and I think, like, I've met people that are, you know, fierce believers by their religious system, but, you know, then they do things and they feel so fucking ashamed of it. So then they throw themselves into, like, for Catholics, confession. They tell them the shitty thing that they did, whether it was fucking a girl or having a drink or dropping the F-bomb or, you know, whatever. And then they leave and they're like, oh, I'm all better now, so I can go and do it again. And then they still feel shit because someone's telling them that they shouldn't be doing these shitty things, you know? And it's constantly, I just think it's like this revolving door of shame. And I'm sure that other people, you know, of other belief systems can feel the same way. And I'm not just talking about queer culture. I'm talking about, you know, as a woman, like there are some religions out there that don't think much of women, you know? Like, yeah, but I think it was a great conversation to have. And I think for me, it sort of opened my mind up a little bit more, because that's something I never really, well, it's something I thought about, but I'm becoming more conscious of the impacts of colonization and our, I guess, and I say we, because, you know, my mum was adopted, so I don't know my specific heritage, but being, you know, raised as a white person, I can only assume I'm English, potentially Irish, some sort of white invader, right? So, but it's only now that I'm starting to understand, like, how, you know, our ancestors have kind of just come in, you know, whether it's to Canada, Australia, wherever other country, and just going, oh, what you believe is totally gross, so you shouldn't do that. And so then again, it just kind of distills this shame on this other community that isn't even ours. So it is a widespread and really deep issue. Like, this goes back hundreds of years. So you're right. It is going to be something that's going to take a long time to unlearn.
Yeah. I think a lot of people just generally want things to be black and white. Like, they desperately want there to just be, it to just be that way. And I think. I don't really know how you break that tendency. I don't know.
I respect other people's beliefs. I have friends that are, you know, Muslim, Catholic, Jew, Hindi, Buddhist, the whole mix. And I don't claim to understand all of them back to front, because I don't. I know Catholicism, but, you know, even then, there's still things that I'm not 100% sure of. And it's been, you know, my grandmother was a catechist. My grandfather was the president of a Catholic club, which are clubs that you have in Australia where it's kind of like an RSL club, but, you know, it's run by Catholics. You know, they have like little gambling rooms and little, like, you know, you can place bets, you can go to the pub, you can go to a restaurant, you can watch a show, whatever. Just for outside Australian listeners. But one thing I guess I'll never stand by is discrimination and oppression of certain groups that, you know, aren't causing harm to anybody else. Like, I think being a queer person, that's not causing harm to anybody. If anything, it's everybody else causing harm to this person for being a queer person. Like, we're not talking about a pedophile here, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That to me just doesn't compute. It doesn't make sense. So over time, I'm hoping that we can stop having stupid conversations. To me, I think it's a stupid conversation. It's like, I just don't understand why you being a queer person has any impact on anybody else.
Yeah, I guess just a lot of people just want to cling back to that old mentality.
Did you have any issues with, because you were, what religion were you?
Was I? I don't know.
What was I? It ran deep and thick. He's like, what was I?
I guess.
Who knows?
Was it like Pentecostal at Pentecostal on the weekends, Anglican during the week? No. Anglican school, Pentecostal church. The very infamous one. I just don't name it because I feel like when you word it out, I mean, yeah, I neither confirm nor deny it. Yeah, of course. But
when you said you didn't,
I try never to say it because I feel like a red dot comes on your head, like when you say it out loud.
What, they're gonna shoot you? Settings.
Yeah.
Mm.
But it was plenty of that, really, but I never actually came out in any of the, I kind of just left. I think I finished high school and then, yeah, I basically just like left all of that world.
I just remember going to Catholic school and someone saying to me, oh, I don't believe in God. I'm like, do you mean sometimes when you're angry? No, like I don't believe it's real. I'm like, oh, really? And they're like, well, yeah. I was like, and they're like, do you believe in it? I'm like, well, yeah. And they're like, well, why? And I remember this girl being like, I think her name was Rachel. She was very smart. She was like, So why do you believe in it? I'm like, it's a great question. And I didn't know. And I'm like, well, I guess because I've always been told to believe in it. And I'm not saying that none of it exists, but what I'm saying is I'm just like kind of growing up, I was kind of just assuming that everyone thought the same thing.
Yeah.
And then you find out that that's not the case and you're like, huh. Before we move on, I'm going to call out your comedy failings.
My comedy failings?
Yeah. I said to you, wait, what religion were you? And then you're like, I don't know. When actually what you should have said was, who knows? You know, just keeping it light.
Yeah. And the theme of today's Despy Awards.
Before we do move out, fucking they're putting on their makeup and they're having this very serious conversation about religious and beliefs and, you know, all this other stuff. And Miss Fiercelicious is, I'm just going to call her Fiercelicious. I can't handle Miss Fiercelicious. It takes too long to say.
Yeah, fair.
Too long. I haven't got time. and Miss Couture, Miss Fiercelicious and Miss Couture, they are arguing with each other.
They're still bickering.
They are still bickering. Kimmy's going on, like, I think a lot of it was Fiercelicious is going off on Kimmy being like, but now you're delivering the line differently and just really nitpicking and micromanaging how she was like trying to remember the dialogue.
I mean, yeah, at this point in the episode, it was like, it was making Fiercelicious look like she's really bad to work with.
Yeah, totally. It could be editing, but Kimmy was just like, oh, fuck this bitch. And I'm like, yeah, am I right?
Yeah, I mean, she was literally coming, she was coming across as Violet, but like a little bit worse.
It was nuts. It was...
Well, not Violet during the Despy Awards, but Violet during every other group challenge.
It was nuts.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're on the runway now, and they're about to do the award show. So we have Tracy Melshaw, we have Brad Goreski, we have Carolyn Pope. Do you know who she is?
Yeah.
I don't.
She does that song.
Okay.
Good chat. She does a song.
She does a song. I don't know who she is. I feel like I should, being the rocker chick that I am, but I don't. But from what I understand, she is a very cool rock and roll singer of a band.
Yeah, that's right.
Canadian, obviously. This could be kind of like, you know, how we have Australian singers that no one else in the world would get, kind of like John Farnham. People in the world don't know who John Farnham is, but we do.
Yeah.
I love how you just slow went, yeah, I know who John Farnham is. Makes me think you don't know who John Farnham is. But then again, you didn't know what religion you were raised before, so, you know.
He's a singer. No, I know who John Farnham is.
I'd hope so. And
he was on The Voice, right?
Oh my God, I hate you. I hate you so much. I hate you so much.
As if that wasn't brilliant, though.
What? Oh. John Farnham sings.
Because it's his most iconic song.
Yes, John Farnham sings a song called...
Well, You're the Voice, but whatever.
Yeah. It's called... The song
Close Enough.
Oh my God. The song he sings is called You're the Voice. Everyone outside of Australia, have a listen to it because you'll fucking love it. Aussies love it.
They probably heard it anyway. It's been in plenty of movie television.
Outside of Australia. No, within yeah. Australia. No, within
outside
Australia.
Of Australia, yeah.
What one?
There's definitely been a few, but the only one I can remember is that Andy Samberg film.
Oh, okay.
Which I'm forgetting the name of. It was basically, yeah, it was early on. I'm forgetting the title of that movie, but
can we talk about funny. Can we talk about Brooklyn's look?
Of course.
It was She gets more beautiful every single week. This was everything. This like eggplant purple sequin. That's how you do a nude illusion, bitch. I was looking at this and I'm like, that's her body.
That cinch too. It's like, oh.
That, oh my God. That is how you do a nude illusion. I want to know who's making her outfits, because I know she makes outfits, but like she wouldn't be making her own outfits now.
Oh, no, as if.
The only one that makes her own outfits, from what I understand, who's very successful, is Bianca Del Rio. She still makes her own outfits. But, oh, my God. And then just the cape over the top. Jesus Christ. Just so beautiful. And then we start with the presentation of the awards. First three queens are presenting the Busiest Beaver Award, and we have Bombay, Lady Booty. Wait, oh my God, Lady Boom Boom. Oh my God, Sean, it's Lady Boom Boom.
And Chaos.
Lady Boom Boom is tiny.
She is tiny, yeah.
So tiny. What did you think of these three ladies presenting the award?
I watched this all twice intentionally, and when I watched it, and actually, yeah, this, I remember just thinking it was middle of the line.
Yeah, wasn't the best, wasn't the worst, but I think, you know, that's okay. But I think with this one, it's a little bit tricky because you have three, well.
I was thinking that too. Three of them, it's a bit difficult for this type of challenge.
Yeah.
Because someone's going to get left out in that scenario somehow.
Yeah, yeah. So they read out the nominees. So you have Kimmy Couture. And then you have
Miss Mosu.
But didn't they call her Miss Mistake first? They said Miss Mistake. Oh, wait, Miss Mosu. And Miss Mosu's face was like, what do you mean? Shader. Hudson wins.
Yeah.
That's fun. Do you think they knew what categories they were going to be nominated in?
Yeah, I always wonder that.
Because they all had a bit of a line after it. You know what I mean? Like, they all had a little spiel.
Yeah. Although, I guess you could, like, I mean, if you knew you were going to get nominated, at the least, or even without knowing you'll get nominated, you would at very least, that'd be the one thing you'd think of like, if I do end up winning one of them, I have to have something vaguely prepared, I guess.
Yeah, I guess you just write down an answer for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you'd vaguely think through, like, if it were me, I would think through, like, I wouldn't have anything worded or, like, scripted in my head, but I'd just have, like, an idea of, like, an angle or, like, an improv idea. Like, I'm just going to be, like, I'm shocked or I'm crying, or just something really simple.
Yeah, pretty much.
Something like that.
Yeah. You have the next. So, next category is nicest carabooty, which they were referring to cutest bum, I guess.
I think so.
And this was presented by Shayla Zon LaRue and Giselle Lullaby.
Yes.
What did you think of these queens delivering this?
I enjoyed it. Like, I mean, most of their patter, like the speech was a bit whatevs. Well, I barely remember it, but I really enjoyed the whole pretending, or like being like, where's the
screen?
Where's the screen part? I was like, that's really clever.
I thought this was really funny because this looked very realistic to something that you would actually see at an award show. Maybe something more like,
it's probably happened before as well. Like,
probably see this at something like the Emmys.
Oh, it's not working.
Yeah, it'd probably be something like at the Emmys, maybe. Not as formal as the Oscars, a bit more tongue in cheek because you're dealing with television.
I mean, it would have happened. This is definitely the kind of thing that's happened at VMAs and MTV and things like that before.
Mm.
Yeah, or it like messes or the teleprompter gets messed up. Like,
I was very impressed because I was like, yeah, these two are definitely in the top. And this sounds really like I was very surprised because isn't Shayla's on? It wasn't Shayla's on LaRue. She's a TikTok queen, right?
Yeah,
she does very well with just talk, like just performing on stage.
Yeah.
For someone that refers to themselves as a TikTok queen, which is sort of renowned for not performing on, I mean, you might, I don't know, maybe she does, but I thought it was quite surprising. They're very, very good. And she looked beautiful. They both looked beautiful too.
Yeah. So I guess social media queens or the queens that make like comedy, makeup videos like on TikTok, like they can still think through jokes and like...
Mm.
Yeah, there's still potential to think through comedic timing and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nominees, yeah,
I think she showed a range there.
Yeah. Nominees are Jada Shada Hall. Oh, my God. Jada Shada Hudson. Jada Shada Hall. Oh, my God. Because I'm thinking, fucking idiot. Oh, my God, my neck. Anyway, sorry. Jada Shada Hudson. My apologies. And then Lady yeah. Boom. Lady Boom Boom and Chaos have been nominated and Chaos wins. Chaos has a cute little line. I'd like to thank my genetics, my doctor, and, you know, Brooklyn for the referral. I thought that was cute.
Yeah, that was fun.
Next awards. Oh, fuck. Okay. So here we go. We have Miss Mosu. Thanks, London. London just jumped on a screen and licked my face.
This is a good one because it's like the topic was frustiest queen and it was the frustiest delivery.
This was bad. So Miss Mosu and Jada Shada Hudson, it actually got to the point. I wonder how long this actually went on for because there's a snippet that they didn't edit out where Jada actually turned to Miss Mosu and said, just keep going. Or something like that. So I think the pause must have been really long. But the delivery was so weird. Like, Miss Mosu just didn't... constant pausing? I don't understand. It just... None of it flowed at all.
Yeah, that was the thing. It was like... Yeah, the timing was just so bad. That's why, like, none of it landed. Because it was just, like, waiting for the joke.
Yeah, it was very strange. It was very robotic. Yeah. But there was no warmth to it either. Like, I know they were talking about frostiest queen, but then when they were just like, ooh. The thing is with a joke like that, you kind of have to start. That's the punchline. That's not how you start the joke. Yeah, that was really disappointing. It was a real blow. I think the dialogue was back to front.
I think they were both like... Yeah, it seems as though Miss Mosu, like, she missed lines and got nervous, and then that rubbed off on Jada Shada Hudson, and she kept getting nervous as well, and then neither of them got out of that place.
No, but the two of them kept on saying, this is a piece of cake, this is going to be really, really easy, so it makes me wonder, did they rehearse this, or did they just kind of go, oh, we'll just go in there, like,
I mean, it was the same joke that they told Brad.
Yeah, but even, you know...
They just sort of spoke it then. So I guess at very least they had a decent outline, but maybe they didn't like rehearse it.
Yeah. But what I thought was interesting, like when they were telling Brad the joke in the workroom, I didn't think it was funny then. So it makes me wonder if maybe they said to Brad, you should laugh at their joke. We've been here, like, you know, the producer's going, hey, their joke is really bad. It's a Rachel Zoe joke and it's really, really bad, but you should laugh at it. Because I didn't think it was funny.
This is one of our unreal moments with Rachel.
That's Rachel, what I reckon.
Rachel, it was... queen in the monitor. Laugh at it. We're going to get this out later.
Yeah. And then when they started doing the choking thing, I was just like, nope.
Yeah.
very confusing. Because to be honest, I probably would have just skipped over that joke altogether and just rushed it to the end, because the reality is, if the first few jokes like that, like the physical comedy, like and whatever other thing they were doing, if that wasn't working, I would have just wrapped it up to try and get out of there. Because I mean, no matter, I'm not going to be able to fix it. It's not like you're going to, you know, deliver five bad jokes and then the fifth one, you know, and then the sixth one. It's not like you're going to deliver, you know.
Like, a joke like that needs to be done quick and punchy. But at the rate they were going, like, it was just another long one.
Way we were just too slow. Like,
when's it? Where is it? Oh, that was the joke. Okay.
Yeah. Way too slow.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, I think that's the worst too, when you've already had such a bad build up and then your jokes you're making are really slow or slow to get to it, then it's just like the audience is watching being like just made more uncomfortable. They probably, because they do so well on a regular gig, they probably just assume they do well here. But then, yeah, I think it hit them, which happens to people.
Yeah, that's what I reckon as well. It was a bit...
It's like the snatch game for a lot of queens, in a way.
Trixie.
Yeah.
Don't count your chickens before they hatch. You can't just assume you're going to do great. Because I guess the reality is someone's going to go home. Like, if you and I were doing this, we would, like, I think we'd do well, but obviously we would still have to, I would still rehearse the shit out of this. Unless it's something really simple, but, you know.
Yeah, I'm really big on rehearsing and planning a lot anyway. Like, I always act like I'm blasé about things, but yeah. If you're actually up on a stage, I'm like, no, we need... Yeah. It needs to be well rehearsed.
Yeah, that's right. So the next two queens, they're coming out, and we have Miss Fierce-Alicious and Kimmy Couture. And I was like, okay, well, these two are going to bomb.
Yeah, this was now the example of well rehearsed, it turned out.
Yes.
Very rehearsed.
They did really well.
It did very well. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, even a bit, they're even choreography.
Yeah, and look, that's what I was going to say. This is where they go, okay, we're not funny queens, we're glamour queens, and we really need to lean into that shtick. We need to lean into that shtick. That's knowing what your drag is and being able to just, because that's the funny bit, when you can kind of just poke fun at yourself and really lean into that. Like, if you and I were doing something, like, I always tell, like, one thing that people always say about you and I, people tend to talk about our friendship a lot. Trust me. A lot of people don't understand it. And the reason is because they're like, oh, because you talk so much. And then, like, he doesn't say much, but when he does say something, it's, like, really hard hitting. If we were doing something like this, that's what you would lean into, right?
Yeah, because
that's the funny bit, where it's like, you know, I take 48 paragraphs to say something, and then you just go, yeah, I agree, it was good, hate her pocket, you know.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, that's a joke, right? So, but I think they really, really did well. Do you think what was I going to say? I actually can't remember. I was surprised that I really enjoyed them presenting the award, because they actually looked really confident as well.
Yeah. It almost made me wonder, like, were they playing up a shtick with all their fighting and stuff? I don't know.
I don't know. That's what I was partly thinking that too, because I was like...
It's like either they were playing it up to, like, throw people, or they literally just worked so hard that it paid off and had a horrible time in the process. I don't know.
Well, who knows? They might have gone back to the hotel room and been like, right, we need to fucking practice this shit.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. Yeah, when the because cameras weren't rolling too, or
Well, that's happened a lot in previous episodes of things where they're like, well, when the cameras stopped rolling, I came back to work on my outfit, or, you know, I went into this, or we rehearsed, or whatever.
Spent the whole night up doing the choreography.
And I know that when I did X Factor for 15 minutes, they gave us this challenge when we did the boot camp where we had to pick one of the songs. So they had three songs. One of them was, I think one of them was Black and Gold. The other one was A Piece of My Heart by Janis Joplin. I can't remember what the third song was, but we had to pick one of these three songs and we had to sing it a cappella. That was the challenge. And I'm telling you now, I have sung Take Another Piece of My Heart so many fucking times to the point I never want to sing it ever again. But I was still in that. They had us like rehearsing on the camera and that was not beneficial, but I went back to like the crappy motel room and it was like, I say it's a motel, it's actually a hotel, but I was singing that song over and 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 over again just to make sure it was like perfect when I did the thing. So I could see how that happened. Actually, I remember one of the producers knocking on the door being like, can we film your process? And they're like, when you're putting together a performance or learning a song, how do you do that? I'm like, I stand here and I learn it. I was it's like, what process are we talking about here?
Oh, the funny, yeah. I can image what they're trying to get out of that. They're just trying to get like the little serious moment where you're like in front of sheet music being like
I literally had the lyrics on my phone because the way that I learn a song is I have the lyrics, I always have the lyrics on it like printed out on a stand first, and then I start gradually looking away from the sheet, then I have the lyrics on my phone so I can put the phone in my pocket, but if I need it then I can like quickly reference it. That's how I remember stuff. I like just gradually eliminate words.
I wonder if people ever just fuck with them and just come up with like ridiculous, like pretend methods that they do not do.
Yeah. I go to Kmart and I do my meditation in the car park.
Or just something like really like ridiculously obscure. Like yeah. I actually use a mathematical equation. So I take each lyric, I put them in a graph and then I analyze them. And then I analyze the story, so I spend a while, and then I have, like, a mind map where...
Then I pray.
Then I do a mindfulness session.
Yeah. And then I lick a ladle. I stick it up my ass.
Then I have, like, people have inner child, do inner child work, but I have a moment with the inner song.
Oh, my God. I mean...
That's a little bit brilliant, actually.
That is. That's fucking profound, mate. Oh my god! Could you imagine us on a show like that? You're like, and then I do some inner song work, and then you just have me on the other side of the camera, just being like, "That's fucking profound."
We could create this whole movie character where we're actually having like this full moment with the song, who I think the song is. You're okay. You're a safe song.
Oh man. And then we have our final category, which was what was the final category?
Lifetime achievement in delusion.
Okay, with Irma God.
Convince yourself. Sorry.
No, don't be sorry. You can talk. You're allowed to talk.
In delusion. Convince yourself. We see a lot of Jinx right now. So, I mean, yeah.
Go Jinx. Go Jinx. Go Jinx. I wish I got tickets to go see her and Bendaloo's show in Sydney.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
Yeah. But we're trying to renovate a house. And I've bought tickets to so many things lately, so it just wasn't going to fit in the Excel sheet. But next time.
Yeah.
Yep. Next. So this one started off okay. And then Ermengarde just...
Yeah, it was... Vivian was good. But yeah, yeah. Ermengarde wasn't. Yeah.
I wonder how long this exchange went for again, because Vivian just kind of went, go on.
Yeah, it was like that. And everything Vivian said actually landed, or it came out smooth. It was just, I don't know. I think Ermengarde was just in her head or something.
Yeah, because then she said something. She goes, I don't know if I should do it. Yeah, okay, I'll do it. Yeah. So I don't think she forgot her words as such. I think she just, you know, I wonder what happened. Maybe they delivered the first joke, no one laughed. And then she was like, oh, fuck.
She had a moment where she like semi broke in the middle of what, as if she was laughing as she was saying what she was saying. But I don't know. If at the same time, it was like that laugh was like a nervous laugh. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if she was like, yeah, I don't know. I reckon she was just nervous. I reckon she was in her nerves, I think.
Yeah, that's what I think happened too. But yeah, it was just very stumbly. But a lot of the jokes that she was saying that were you know, aired on telly, they were really, they took too long to get there.
Yeah.
That was the problem.
Yeah, I think it was the nerve. I think it was the nerves that did. It seems like it was the nerves that did that. It was like that. I don't know. She's saying something that could be funny, but yeah, she's struggling to spit it out.
So that wraps up the challenge. We're now back on the runway, and the theme is goddess. Did you have a favorite and non-favorite? But what a way to say it. What was your top and bottom in terms of these runway looks?
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite and non-favorite? Oh, my God.
Welcome to RuPaul's Drag Race, favorite and non-favorite.
Seriously, I'm on the struggle bus with words today. It is just next level. I'm so sorry, listeners. Finally, we're at a stage where we're actually getting people listening to the podcast actively, and I can't even string a sentence together. It's just next level.
I mean, in defense to us, like, there are so many different runway critiquing videos out there and outlets. It's like there's Toot and Boot, there's Hot or Rot.
Hot or Rot? What's that?
I think that's Bussy Queen. Bussy?
Busy. Oh, okay. I don't watch any other recap things or anything, unless it's Drag Race affiliated.
Pythia has one. I think it's like Clap or Slap, I think.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what it is. Or Slap or something.
Okay.
I've only seen one of them so far. Like, the first one was with Eve. I think the next one's with someone else, I think.
Right. Okay. Sure. Well, top and bottom for you on this runway?
Who were my top? I don't really remember being that obsessed with anyone. Oh, actually, Kimmy Couture's was quite extravagant.
Kimmy's was simple. Like, it was actually quite simple, but in my mind, that was the most effective one.
I think it was like the accessorize, the glamming and accessorizing of the simple things, like the headpiece and
Just because it's simple doesn't mean that it's not glamorous. Like, you can elevate something without, you know, chucking every fucking thing that you own on top of it. Yeah. That was really cool. The Queen of the Forest was really cool. I really loved Bombay's cool as well. I didn't like madly love any of them. I think my favorites were Kimmy and Bombay. The runways. I hated two of them. Controversially, I hated Miss Mosu. It wasn't bad, but I wanted Goddess, and all I got was like Morticia wearing pants and a headpiece. And
it was a little bit too obscure.
Yeah, but it was just like a lot of goth. It was just like a couple of goth shit things on there with a headpiece. So I was just like, okay, work, Morticia. Where are you going? You going to the gym? I didn't like it.
It was a look that was like, it was good if it was, I don't know. Yeah, it just needed to be more for the goddess theme, I think.
Yeah, and I also didn't like that you could see the elastic strap holding on the headpiece. I don't want to see it. If you're a goddess, that thing should sit on your head. Like when I had my when I had my crown at my wedding. That's right, bitch. I had a crown at my wedding. I, or tiara, whatever you want to call it, we specifically got hairpins that were the same color as my hair. And we also got copper wire, which was also the same color as my hair, to wire it in so no one could fucking see that it was, you know what I mean? That there was a whole fucking scaffold in my hair to keep the thing on.
Yeah.
So that's what I expect. From one goddess to another, that is what I expect. Anyway.
Who was the other one you hated?
Oh, Irma Gerd was bad. That was bad. Shoes are bad. The colors are bad. The hair was bad. Oh, shit, I just threw my microphone. Oh, my God.
What was it?
It was just
shit. The look was shit. She looked shit. It was shit.
It was shit. Well, it was because it was meant to be. She was meant to be like the goddess of chaos. To me, she just looked like she was going to a Katy Perry concert.
I'm surprised I didn't come for her already, actually. I feel like I come for everything she wears.
It wasn't good. No, just her pocket.
Yeah, that fucking...
I had to edit out. No, we're not talking about it again. I had to edit out 11 minutes of you being like, yeah, the pocket. And I'm like, yeah. And then there's a bit where you're like, did you want to move on? I'm like, yes, we're moving on. I left it in because it was hysterical. But we're not talking. But we can talk about the rest of this look. I really didn't like it. Actually, okay.
I think Jada Shaders was a bit worse.
That was... Yeah, the bottom ones were really bad, actually. Yeah. Jada Shaders...
It looked cheap. Like, the dress looked cheap.
Yeah. It looked like... It just looked like a...
Party City.
Yeah. I really loved Brooklyn's critiques of Shayla's on LaRue, where she was like, the hair is beautiful, the makeup is beautiful. It's just another, and like, because she wasn't saying you look bad, because she didn't, but it was that thing where it's like, it could be dragged up a little bit more with accessories. Cause that's what I was thinking too. Cause I was looking at it and I'm like, she looks beautiful, but there is something that's not quite like, it just needs something a little bit more, even if it was just like,
yeah, she has a good point. Yeah.
Just to make it a bit more drag.
Like, I liked that the other judges kind of stood up with her with the whole versatility thing. They were like, yeah, like it was like, yeah, it's true. Like, she did wear something a bit more glam in a different way in the awards part of the challenge.
Yeah.
But yeah, she just needs to like up it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like the feedback that they give them in this show, like in this franchise, because they never go, oh, it's wrecked, girl. That doesn't happen. They're literally just like, look, this is where it could definitely be improved.
They're like, it's just a bit too costumey.
Yeah. Yeah. So this was quite funny. So we're in Untucked now, and Miss Fierce Alicious goes to Shayla's on LaRue. She's like, hey, so you pairing me with Kimmy Couture, you being fucking shady and you didn't think that we were going to work well together. And then Shayla's on LaRue says something like, no, what? And then she's like, oh, so you didn't think that we were going to work well together. I'm just like, you are taking you are jumping in and deliberately misinterpreting what I'm trying to say to you. And she's like, you winked at me, so that was shade. Oh my God, Sean.
Yeah, the wink.
Fucking kidding me. That's the thing. She fucking winked at me.
I like Shayla's on LaRue.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Shayla's on LaRue, to me, she's the kind of person that I would like to hang out with. She's like, fuck you on about? I just winked at you.
She's only 22.
Oh, shit. Really? Hey, you, come back. Hey, straight man, come here. Turn the light back on. Thank you.
But yeah, she's. I love that. Even like, okay, I won't wink at you anymore then.
Just for anyone that was listening to me, I was just yelling at my husband because he turned the light off and the sun has set in Sydney.
It's dark.
It was black and I was like, yo, bloody turn it back on. I said it with love, obviously. I don't literally, you know, it's a joke. He's not oppressed or anything. Are you, husband? He said nothing. You know what he did? He looked at me and he just went, he mimed the word help. Don't we love straight people?
I mean, that's part, that's a little part that could get re-looped, actually, just you being like, you're not oppressed, are you?
They're going to take that. You're not fucking oppressed.
Amber Heard of the podcasting world.
Oh, God. We are not talking about her because people have an opinion. We are not talking about her. We can talk about it offline, but we are not talking about it. Nope.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't need any more airtime. It's had enough.
The end. So it's taken so long for my YouTube to to stop recommending I watch it, even though I was never looking it up in the first place. Anyway. But yeah, when she's like, but you winked at me. Okay. Right.
Reach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rightio. Yeah.
I think she just likes to stir shit and be silicious.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. And watch, they'll come for her on the interwebs again.
Oh, yeah, I think they already are. Although they're kind of she's starting to get defense this time, I think, because she did well in this challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's probably smart. She's getting herself a bit of a, like, she's getting herself hate and love.
Love and hate.
Yeah. People are talking about you.
Yeah. Now, we get to the lip sync, and I got some feedback from a certain listener who listens to our podcast. Apparently, when we get to the lip syncs, we talk about the lip sync songs in great depth. We don't actually mention the name of the song. So
this is probably true.
I think it is, because Adrian's like, I was like, because Adrian's behind and he's like, so I was listening to the season finale of season 2 of Canada's Drag Race and it was great how you were talking about the song and the lip sync, but I had no idea what song you were talking about. And I was like, I'm like, it's all coming back to me now by Celine Dion. And he's like, oh, okay. Rightio.
We probably just gloss over it. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
you know what? Last episode, we didn't mention the lip sync song either.
I don't think we did.
We didn't. Actually, I do remember at the end of the episode, when we were done, I was like, I don't think we mentioned that it was Beauty and a Beat. Beauty and a Beat.
Yeah, so we need to actually start doing that now.
Yeah. I mean, all I would have said was, I hate the song. But
yeah, and I would have said, well, this isn't music. Let's move on.
Nicki Minaj is all right.
Yeah.
That's
Justin
it.
Bieber,
the
though.
End.
So the lip sync song is High School Confidential by Rough Trade. And the lead singer of this band is Carol Pope. I'd never heard this song before. I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
I really enjoy it. I've added it to my
Yeah, it's a good song.
I've added it to my Spotify list.
Yeah. This is one thing. I like that they bring in, like, yeah, I feel like they're giving good awareness of, like, cool Canadian artists.
We have skipped ahead.
Yes, we have. That's
we right. have skipped ahead because we didn't talk about the winner. We didn't talk about the bottoms.
Yeah.
This is what happens when your husband is staring at you from the kitchen being like, remember, you need to do this thing. And so you do it. So once again, straight white males fucking with everything. Fucking with everything that doesn't need to be fucked. So let's go back a tiny bit, shall we, my queer friend? We have the top. We have the winner of the challenge is announced as Kimmy. Do you agree?
Yeah. Yeah.
We have the bottoms of the challenge. Oh my God, Miss Mosu and Jada Shader Hudson. Do you agree?
Yeah.
I absolutely knew that Jada Shader Hudson and Miss Mosu were going to be in the bottom because they already built this like BFF relationship in the storyline, and Oh My God wasn't as bad as those two.
Yeah. It was very that.
She had some jokes in her peripheral vision. She just didn't quite, you know, get to them.
Yeah.
Where these two were just like, you know, physical comedy that hurt my soul.
Yeah. Plus, yeah, it builds up great drama for the two of them as well. Just overall worked out.
Yeah. I like doing this thing. And it's wrong. It's wrong. As soon as I see what the song is, I like placing bets on who's going to win. Because I've never heard of this song before. I didn't quite know. Did you have someone that you were rooting for?
The song actually made it very hard to tell. However, I felt like as an episode, as a show layout, I was kind of like, I feel like Jade is going to win. Just because she's a bit more of a personality.
Yeah.
Even though there's a little part of me that always gets annoyed when, like, a queen in the first episode lip syncs and then survives, and then next episode they're like, bye. Like, what was the point in that?
Yeah, right?
Bring back Hillel then.
I know! What a wasted opportunity. Jada Shader Hall absolutely smashed the lip sync. Miss Mosu was good too, but I was like, I kind of saw this last week.
Yeah.
This to me was like the same lip sync, different song.
In a way, it felt like one they could just... I kind of felt like it was one they could just do whatever they wanted with. They could have just been like... Miss Mosu was a bit more controlled or whatever, but... Yeah, Jada was giving more
energy. She was giving more grit.
Yeah, more energy, more dynamic.
Yeah. It's rock and roll, mate. You can't be like, you know, subtle when it comes to rock and roll.
Yeah.
You know, you got to smash everything in that fucking room. Not physically, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So Jada Shader Hudson wins. Do you agree?
Yeah.
And now Miss Mosu leaves and I'm like, I want Hillel back.
Yeah. I know. I hate when they do this. It's always like, it's almost like you feel duped from the episode before.
Yeah, because Hillel Bae would have smashed this. I just know it in my soul.
Yeah, or like the episode before, if you were rooting for them to stay in any way, it's like this episode, it was like, yeah, well.
Yeah.
Screw you.
I was like, that's Pog.
Fuck your drag.
Well, fuck my drag. And just like that, we've wrapped the second episode of season 3 of Canada's Drag Race. Thoughts, feelings, emotions.
Yeah, interesting group they've got. They continue to have potential.
They continue to have potential.
I'm going to make this into a thing.
Oh, God. Well.
They got potential.
Oh, shit. Well, good chat, Sean.
Good chat, Melanie.
I look forward to doing all this with you again next time.